in this world, moreover, for the first time in history, effective international technical and other assistance is at the service of states in need of it through an international system of mutual self-help. Thus, emerging states no longer have to choose from the uninviting alternative of struggling along strictly on their own meager means or accepting help from a rich and powerful nation at the risk of compromising their newly and hard-won independence. It is a world, too, in which, with China and the Soviet Union alone having close to 1 billion people under communist regimes, communism is solidly entrenched, and means of somehow existing with it in peace, if not in harmony, will need to be found. Maintain the peace, and there is truly in prospect a new world, a world of unparalleled promise. Mankind makes progress, though never rapidly enough. And in that regard, I think again of Adlai Stevenson, because this is a story which he did, in fact, tell a small group of us the other day. It wasn't original with him. He'd been talking to a Dutch diplomat, and they were discussing progress in New Guinea. New Guinea, as you may know, has had the practice of cannibalism, and there are indications that there are some vestiges of it left. But progress in our world must be measured always in practical terms and sometimes in terms of small advances. And this is how an administrator in New Guinea was measuring the progress that is being made in that territory in this period of modernity. He said in New Guinea today, on Friday, the people are eating only fishermen. Taking an overall view, then, have there ever been any better times in which to graduate? At any rate, I am particularly sure that there has never been a world offering to the individual greater challenge, stronger inspiration, or richer opportunity. There has not been, I think, a more propitious period in which to launch a career. When has opportunity for the well-trained and the competent beckoned more persuasively? When have engineers, scientists, teachers been so much in demand? When has individual initiative brought sure or firmer return? When, indeed, has there ever been wider scope or surer reward for constructive and creative effort, for dedicated service, for useful application of science and of all the arts? And now, finally, what of the individual in this quest for peace? The decisive proposition should be bluntly stated. The future of peace or war, and therefore the future of mankind and the remarkable civilization he has built, are in the hands of individuals all over the world, in your hands and in mine. It is only the individuals who can see to it that their will for peace is reflected in the policies of government. It is individuals for whom freedom has meaning and who will determine the vigor and the resolve with which freedom will be safeguarded. It is individuals all over the world who alone can give to the United Nations through their support the strength it needs. Understanding of people for people can come solely through the understanding of the individuals comprising society. I do not seek either to moralize or to talk of stardust when I say that the better world we all seek requires the resolute effort of legions of men and women of goodwill everywhere. It's a practical fact that a better world, just as a better college or a better community, is to be attained only by wise, high-minded, broad-visioned, courageous, and dedicated people working conscientiously toward that end. I trust that many of you who are graduating today may be enrolled in that sort of effort in your neighborhoods, in your towns and states, in your nation, and increasingly, I hope, in the world community. You are already aware, I imagine, that it takes moral courage to be oneself, to follow the right, to resist the pressures toward dreary conformity and orthodoxy of thought and action. There's a yawning gulf, a moral gulf, between expediency and right. We all, I suspect, know well how much easier it is to pay lip service to the right and the good than to do the right and the good. To stand up and be counted is often the severest test of courage. The sight of the angel may be quickly deserted when the reckoning begins. It's in our relations with our fellows that we encounter our most searching test. In this regard, it is important always to remember that equality and human dignity are in our time vital international issues, worldwide in scope. The non-white two-thirds of the peoples of the world, yellow and brown and black peoples, are all profoundly concerned with this question. All of the non-white peoples are today properly insisting on their right to traverse the highways and the byways of the world in equality with all other men, with dignity and with self-respect, with their heads held high. And they cannot fail in this, just as in America, in our country, we must not fail to attain full democracy for all of our citizens. And I must say that the recent outrages in Alabama, and particularly the callous attitude of some state and local authorities there, who endorse bigotry, are more worthy, I should say, of barbarism than of a civilized society. They give, unfortunately, much aid and comfort to our communist detractors. Man's basic and most acute problem is to learn how to live together. It does, I must say, border on the anonymous. That so much fuss is made now about sending men up and out to explore and control outer space, when man knows so very little about himself down here, and has even less control over his relations down here, man to man. The sphere of human relations, then, is one in which no individual ever does as much as he could do, in which the most earnestly converted may always do more than he does do, since the attitudes of people toward each other are at the root of most of the world's problems, in the sense that it is in the minds and the hearts of people that differences, frictions, and animosities, which in their cumulative effect become dangerous, are spawned. We may all cast guilty looks, each at the other. Thus, every individual bears blame in some degree for the state of world affairs. The individual, then, the most exalted and the humblest, is here confronted squarely with the never-ending challenge to convert good words, good thoughts, and goodwill into good acts, decent, human, brotherly acts. And now the note on which I should like to close is this last word to the graduate. Be confident, be purposeful, be always hopeful. Guard fiercely your integrity and your self-respect. And whatever you do and wherever you go, may you find happiness and good fortune in generous measure. I salute you.
Baccalaureate degree in the various curricula. The registrar has certified that they have fulfilled the requirements of the various curricula, and the faculty of the university has recommended that they now receive their diploma with all the rights and privileges appertaining thereto. Will the candidate for the degree of Bachelor of Arts please rise? Candidate for the degree of Bachelor of Business Administration, please rise. Candidate for the degree of Bachelor of Education, please rise. Candidate for the degree of Bachelor of Science, please rise.
Rasmussen, as President of the University of Alaska, I present to you these candidates for the baccalaureate degree in the respective departments as recorded in the official program.
Thank you, Mr. President. By virtue of the authority in me vested as President of the Board of Regents under the Constitution of the State of Alaska, and upon the recommendation of the President of the University and the faculty, I confer upon you the baccalaureate degrees to which you are entitled, with all the rights, privileges, and honors pertaining thereto.
The audience is requested to withhold applause until the last baccalaureate degree has been conferred. For the degree Bachelor of Arts, Sheldon A. Fox, Political Science, Charles H. Cook, Major John. James F. Couch, Major Hitler. John R. Coyne, Major Sally Smith Howard, Major Anne Northrup Huber, Major Hughes. Claude Michael Nazi, Major Raymond A. Nesbitt, Major in Ruth Newer Palmer, Major in For the degree of Bachelor of Business Administration, Walter F. Baldwin, Major Mountain. Ryan J. Brundine, Cum Laude, Major at Top. George Edward Cash, Major Accountant. Irma Ryan Dugan, Major Secretary of Finance. Gabriel Stanford Lehman Gabriel, Bennett. John Hajdukovic, Paul Kelly, Major Madison. Albert Griffith Kilgrove, Major Madison. Dennis F. Prize, Major Marcus. George R. Metty, Major Madison. Manuel F. Dina, Major Madison. Walter Frederick Scott, Major Madison. Robert H. Slider, Major Madison. Carl Smelter, Major Account. Joseph Anthony Sternola, Major Madison. John Rudolph Sutton, Major Madison. James A. Vicarious, Major Accountant. B. Young, Major Accountant. Sharon Johnson Yurkovich, Secretarial Faculty. For the degrees, Bachelor of Education, Marjorie Baker, Elementary School. Allenson D. Bartholomew II, Secretary. Evelyn Marie Wise, Elementary. Michael H. Grady, Elementary. Jack DeVille, Elementary. Beatrice Hines, Downing, Secondary. Catherine DeVille, Secondary. Bruce Renwick Gilbert, Secondary. James Wilson Rowland, Elementary. William Dwayne Harris, Secondary. Ronald Gerald Hogan, Secondary. Marie Day Highland, Elementary. Bernard Robert Ivy, Secondary. Gerald Hampton Ivy, Elementary. Carolyn Hackstrom Johansson, Elementary. Frederick J. Kemp, Elementary. Ray C. Kachuri, Secondary. Julianne Knight, Elementary. Eva Knight Kozlowski, Cum Laude, Elementary. Rita Ramos Millicent, Elementary. William D. Moran, Secondary. Luke Dewar Palmer, Secondary. The second year. Owen D. Rome, Secondary. Donald A. Sanders, Secondary. Robert H. Slager, Elementary. Sybil Park Townsend, Elementary. Fred William Bilali, Secondary. Arlene Walker, Elementary. Candidate for the Bachelor of Science degree. Earl B. Osmond, Civil Engineering.
Raymond Allen Blackett, electrical. Patricia E. Cumming, biological science options, medical and technology. Ronald James Jones, civil engineer. George Albert Franklin, geologist. Paul Stefan Rabinovich, geologist. Herbert Maxim Grossman, biological science. Marsha Hajdukovic, cum laude, from economics. Lawrence E. Heiner, minor in Ronald E. Jaworek, civil engineer. Kenneth C. Lowney, civil engineer. George R. McClanahan, cum laude, civil engineer. Ralph E. McLean, biological science, option 3 medical. Mary Jane Middleton, general science. Eugene Albert Moore, geologist. Emo M. Field, geologist. Ralph Emerson Trey II, metallurgical engineer. Robert G. Smith, civil engineer. Noel F. Strasser, civil engineer. Erna Strasburger, general science. Alice Lewis Stump, home economics. Charles Howard Stump, electrical engineer. Henry Wilson Waterfield, mining engineer. Blair Edward Wanzell, mining engineer. The following candidates have been granted their bachelor's degrees in absentia. Roger Fisk Blackett, Bachelor of Science, Wildlife Management. Saul R. Carrillo, Bachelor of Business Administration. Patricia Everly, Bachelor of Education. Nolan Allen Ham, Electrical Engineering. Thomas Allen Hopkins, Bachelor of Business Administration. Alan England, Bachelor of Education. Henry S. Kaiser Jr., Bachelor of Education. Guy A. Watson, Bachelor of Education. Linda Black Wellman, Bachelor of Education. Charlotte F. Winter, Bachelor.
Will the coordinator of graduate studies please present the candidate for master's degree?
Helen Gray, degree, Master of Education, please rise. Helen Gray, degree, Master of Science. President Wood, on behalf of the faculty, it is my privilege to present the candidate for the master's degree. The registrar has certified that they have completed the requirements of the various curricula, and the faculty have recommended that they receive their diplomas for the various rights and privileges appertaining thereto.
Mr. Rasmussen, as president of the University of Alaska, I present to you this candidate for the master's degree in the specialized fields of study as recorded on the official program. And by virtue of the authority in me vested as president of the Board of Regents under the Constitution of the State of Alaska, and upon the recommendation of the president of the university and the faculty, I confer upon you the master's degree to which you are entitled with all the rights, privileges, and honors pertaining thereto.
For the degree, Master of Education, Betty Farrington. Margie Berkman Johnson, Master of Education. Master of Science in Wildlife.
ground level.
Mr. President, the following have been granted their master's degrees in attention: William Jacob Dambeck, physics; Charles Sterling Deer, geophysics; Ronald Nelson DeWitt, geophysics; Marion Charles Durfee, geology; Richard C. Folta, engineering management; Patricia Oakes, education; John W. Roche, education; Julia E. Waugh, education.
Willis Jim, Ishi, Arkasoko, Howard, Francis, Bates, Thomas, Neil, Davis, and Robert Stewart Leonard, please come. If there are candidates for the degree of Doctor of Philosophy, please come forward.
Mr. Atkinson, I present to you these candidates for the degree of Doctor of Philosophy.
Mr. President, by virtue of the authority vested in me as President of the Board of Regents, and upon the recommendation of the President of the University and the faculty, I confer upon you the Doctor of Philosophy degree to which you are entitled, with all the rights, privileges, and honors pertaining thereto.
Simon Ishii, Akasoko, Bachelor of Science, Tohoku University, Master of Science, Tohoku University. Bachelor of Science, Oregon State College, Master of Science, Oregon State College. T. Neil Davis, Bachelor of Science, University of Alaska, Master of Science, California Institute of Technology. Robert F. Leonard, Bachelor of Science, University of Nevada, Master of Science, University of Nevada.
For commission in the United States Army Reserve, please rise and come forward. President, on recommendation of the faculty of the Division of Military Science, and upon approval of the President of the United States, I present to you the candidates for commission whose names appear on the official program.
I represent the President of the United States in presenting to you these commissions in the Army of the United States.
Allenson D. Bartholomew II, Distinguished Military Graduate. Brian J. Brundine, Distinguished Military Graduate.
E. Cash. Ben Fidel Gabriel. Paul S. Glavinovich, Distinguished Military Graduate. William D. Harris. Albert G. Kilgrove, Distinguished Military Graduate. Dennis F. Prize. Raymond A. Nesbitt. Charles H. Stump, Distinguished Military Graduate.
Members of the class of 1961. Freedom is a fragile thing. A rainbow of vivid colors shading into softer hues. It comes from the heart, but must ever be sustained to the head and the hand. Freedom is for the many, as well as for the one. And remember this. If denied them, freedom is so easy for the one to lose. We could lose ours quickly, in the years or the months or the weeks immediately ahead. Of nations as of individuals, the long scroll of history records that ruin inevitably follows the choice of security and comfort over the good life of freedom. In a certain sense, freedom is a spectrum, ranging from complete absence of restraint upon the individual to the complete authority of the group. At what point must what is good, perhaps best for the individual, give way to what is necessary and good for the group, of which the individual is a part? Our way of life is founded upon the rights of the individual, and by extension, upon the rights of the small group within a larger group, and by further extension, upon the rights of one nation within a group of nations. And herein lies our dilemma. How may one person maintain his freedom and dignity and self-respect when his course of action runs counter to that of his neighbor, who also claims freedom of action to maintain his own dignity and self-respect? We turn to civil law, to moral law, to social ethic. Must nations also turn to some type of universal law and universal ethic to maintain peace among men? Who will hammer out such codes and the machinery for affecting them? The hard decision, in its simplest form, is to determine the point at which the desired good of the individual must give way to the greater good and the necessity of the group. In the making of this decision, each of you must participate. Fellow classmates, congratulations. We have undoubtedly set a record today for our class. We have almost perfect attendance. I wonder what sort of charm Mrs. Jones has, certainly effective in getting participation in class function. Regent Rasmussen, President and Mrs. Wood, Dr. Field, Dr. Bunch, Chaplain Hamilton, Chaplain Dr. Alleman, Dr. Kelly, Mr. Snodgrass, Board of Regents, Professor Charles Klein, Class Advisor, faculty, parents, guests, and fellow students. There is a destiny that makes us brothers, none of those who dwell alone. All that we put into the lives of others comes back into our own. At long last, our class has come to the end of a bumpy, dusty, muddy country road, one which has served as a guide for us through at least 16 years of formal and informal education. This road does not end with a sign, dead end. It has merely ceased to be a country road. It has intersected with the superhighway of life. Look there at the multitude of signposts, all giving direction. Which shall we follow? Of course, we shall follow a different sign, the one that indicates the way to our chosen goal in life. We have built for ourselves a foundation, a means of motivation to the stream of traffic on this superhighway that stretches out before us. Each will try in his own way to keep his life moving, perhaps to keep ahead of his classmates, and to catch and surpass those that are already traveling down the highway. But as each of us attempts to better ourselves, we should remember that source from which we drew out our knowledge, our experience, and our courage. We should remember that if we wish to grow, we must give of ourselves first to others so that they can grow and, in turn, help us up to the next milepost in life's highway. We can benefit ourselves by giving to our spouse, to our profession, to our church, to our community, by giving to our university, to our state, to our nation, and naturally, by giving of ourselves to our total environment, we will be giving to our world. If we can cause our environment to grow in stature, we will grow naturally within it. But the diploma which we receive today from the University of Alaska could be given a certain value when compared with the diplomas of other universities. What that value is, I do not know. But I do know that today's diploma is probably worth more in terms of reputation and significance than was the University of Alaska's diploma of 1922. Why? Why is it worth more? It is worth more today because of the little things that people have done over the past 40 years. Who would think that the tying of a handkerchief to a small tree on what is now College Hill could be important? Such an act was important. It established the location of the cornerstone of the University of Alaska. Then, this act seemed highly significant because there was nothing here. Now the little things one does do not show up so profoundly, but they still contribute as greatly. Often, people who wait to take the one great step really never take it, and they are left with a feeling that they have never contributed. What is wrong with the number of small steps taken towards a summit? Most goals are reached by the persistent climber, the one who takes this one sure step at a time. Fellow graduates, think about this. When we acquire a new home, one which we have planned, saved, waited, and prayed for, do we just use it? Do we allow it to fall into disrepair, let the roof leak, the walls become unpainted? No, I don't think we do. We keep it in good repair, and we try to improve it. We add a new bedroom. We add a garage. We build picnic tables and a barbecue pit in the backyard. We plant grass and shrubbery and we fixed the front gate, so it's hanging on 200 instead of one. All of this is done to make our home more valuable, both in sentimental and monetary terms.